Welcome back to In Depth with Academia, where we dive into new research and what it means for all of us. I'm Richard Price, founder and CEO of Academia EDU, and today I'm exploring a fascinating piece by Kriti Gaur called Meaning Making in Grief Work and Where We Stand Today. Such a powerful topic, right? Let's get right into it. So Kriti Gaur's paper tackles a core question that actually touches every single one of us, sooner or later. How do people make sense of grief? And what does that even mean, especially now when global events like COVID-19, natural disasters, violence, have just transformed our experiences of loss? Gaur's asking, in essence, how do we as humans... Every listener knows someone who's struggled with loss, or maybe you have yourself. So, understanding meaning-making, how grief isn't just a personal ordeal, but something we actively process, reconstruct, and grow from, can feel deeply relevant. These academic insights are meant to give us all food for thought, not offer any one-size-fits-all truth. Remember, I'm presenting this paper neutrally, I'm not endorsing it, but wow, it's definitely interesting to think about. All right, Gaur starts by showing how the way we view grief has changed dramatically over time. Way back when, like the early 1900s, grief was this linear process. Lose someone, detach emotionally, move on. Freud, Lindemann, Kubler-Ross, those classic theorists, they gave us those famous stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Ring any bells? But Gaur points out, aha, that was mostly built out of white Eurocentric frameworks and doesn't always match what happens in real life, especially across cultures. Interesting, huh? So how do modern researchers see it? Well, Gaur describes a big shift toward socio-cultural and constructionist approaches. Basically, instead of thinking there's a universal path everyone takes, like a conveyor belt of emotions, researchers notice people grieve so differently. Why? Because your culture, religion, community, even your language, they all shape how you make sense of loss. For example, in some cultures, grief is strictly private. In others, it's intensely communal. These differences matter. Just think how a funeral can look totally different from one family to another, right? But here's the really big twist. Gaur emphasizes meaning-making as the central driver of healthy grieving. Making meaning is about finding significance in the loss, figuring out how it fits, painfully or not, into your life story. Am I a different person now? What does this loss mean for my values, my beliefs, my connections with others? And honestly, sometimes there's no meaning that feels clear at all. Gaur notes that's a part of the journey too, and it can be tough. How do people do this? Gaur reviews a grab bag of methods. Some people turn to religious or spiritual rituals. Others participate in shared memorials. Some write or speak about the person they lost. Or, maybe they even get involved with advocacy related to the cause of death. The exact shape this meaning-making takes depends so much on individual and cultural identity. It's never just a cognitive exercise. It's emotional, social, spiritual, everything. Now, when it comes to counselling, another key focus of the paper, Gaur finds a gap, and it's pretty striking. Counselling training often still leans on older models, even as clients are coming in with more complex, culturally influenced grief than ever. There's a real need, according to Gaur, for updated education, integrating trauma-informed care and new models of grief that consider the full range of human experience. In fact, Gaur even developed an 8-step guide for counselors to help clients with process-oriented meaning-making. But again, I'm not saying this is the answer, just that it's a move toward embracing cultural sensitivity and acknowledging how unique every loss is. Quick digression here. You know, I once attended an academic panel on how language affects emotion, and someone argued that even the words we have for grief shape what we feel. Like, what if a language doesn't even have a word for closure? Does that mean people don't look for closure, or do they just experience it differently? Sorry, just popped into my head. Wild stuff, right? Anyway, even with all these fresh models, Gaur's research actually finds that in practice, counsellors aren't always trained or confident in newer approaches. Many still use Kubler-Ross or similar older models. There's a call here for more robust grief education and counselling. So if you're someone struggling with loss or working with others who are maybe look for practitioners who focus on culturally informed, flexible approaches and recognise that meaning making takes time and varies so much. Takeaway for you, the listener, there's no single right way to grieve, and meaning doesn't always arrive on schedule or at all. But recognizing that grief is both universal and deeply personal can help us be more patient and maybe more compassionate with ourselves and others. Academic research like this isn't absolute truth. It's one lens to bring clarity and spark conversation. All right, thanks for joining me for this dive into Kritigar's paper on meaning-making in grief. I hope you found some insight, or at least something to ponder as you go about your day. Stay curious, stay open, and I'll see you on the next episode of In Depth with Academia.